We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Verse 8, the Pandavas retire timely. So I'll sing each line.
Yat sanita aham ukam namaha nayetam. Yat sanita aham ukam namaha nayetam. Indram chasana ratanam tadasa vijitya. Indram chasana ratanam tadasa vijitya. Labdha sadhavaya kitad utashipamaya.
Protected forest of Indra,
protected forest of Indra,
king of heaven,
king of heaven.
Agnaye,
Agnaye,
unto the fire god,
unto the fire god.
Adam,
Adam,
delivered,
delivered.
Indra,
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 Indra.
Cha,
cha,
also,
also.
Sa,
sa,
along with,
along with.
Amaraganam,
Amaraganam,
the demigods. Charasa,
Charasa,
with all dexterity,
Vijitya,
having conquered,
Lata,
having obtained,
Saha,
assembly house,
Mayakrita,
built by Maya,
Adbhuta,
very wonderful, Shilpa,
art and workmanship.
Maya,
Maya,
potency,
potency.
Divya,
Divya,
from all directions.
Aharan,
collective.
Mipataya,
all princes.
Bali,
presentations. Atvare, brought.
Te,
your. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Because he was near me, it was possible for me to conquer with great dexterity the powerful king of heaven, Indradev, along with his demigod associates, and thus enable the fire god to devastate the Kandava forest. And only by his grace was the demon Maya saved from the blazing Kandava forest, and thus we could build our assembly house of wonderful architectural workmanship, where all the princes assembled during the performance of Rajasuya Yajna and paid you tributes. Report. The demon Maya Danava was an inhabitant of the forest Kandava, and when the Kandava forest was set on fire, he asked protection from Arjuna. Arjuna saved his life, and as a result of this, the demon felt obliged. He reciprocated by building a wonderful assembly house for the Pandavas, which attracted the extraordinary attention of all state princes. They felt the supernatural power of the Pandavas, and thus without grudge, all of them submitted and paid tributes to the emperor. The demons possess wonderful and supernatural powers to create material wonders, but they are always disturbing elements of the society. The modern demons are the harmful material scientists who create some material wonders for disturbance in the society. For example, The creation of nuclear weapons has caused some panic in human society. Maya was also a materialist like that, and he knew the art of creating such wonderful things. And yet, Lord Krishna wanted to kill him. When he was chased, both by the fire and by the wheel of Lord Krishna, he took shelter of such a devotee as Arjuna, who saved him from the wrath of the fire of Lord Shri Krishna. Devotees are therefore more merciful than the Lord. And in devotional service, the mercy of a devotee is more valuable than the mercy of the Lord. Both the fire and Lord ceased from chasing the demon as soon as both of them saw that the demon was given shelter by such a devotee as Arjuna. This demon, feeling obliged to Arjuna, wanted to do him some service to show his gratefulness. But Arjuna declined to accept anything from him in exchange. Lord Shri Krishna, however, being pleased with Maya for his taking shelter of a devotee, asked him to render service unto King Yudhisthira by building a wonderful assembly house. The process is that by the grace of the devotee, the mercy of the Lord is obtained. And by the mercy of the Lord, a chance to serve the Lord's devotee is obtained. The club of Bhimsena was also a gift of Maya Dhanava. Mukam karoti vachala mangam kangayate vim yakitam tulam vande shivrum dinatarum om jnana tivarandasya jnanjara shalakaya chakshum ucham yena So I would like to read the pastime from Krishna book. It's one paragraph long of this fire in the Kandava forest. Actually, Agni dressed himself as a Brahmin, and he came to Arjuna and Krishna to beg something from them. And he said, of course, whatever you want, we will give you. And he says, I am Agni and I want to eat the Kandava forest. Indra was preventing him. He tried, I guess, before, and Indra kept putting it out with his fire, his thunderstorms, rain. So now he had a good opportunity because Arjuna and Krishna are there. And so here Prabhupada says, Krishna engaged in the pastime of offering the Kandava forest, which belonged to King Indra. So Indra was attached to that forest. He didn't want it to be burnt. But Agni was very sick. He had some disease, and he needed to eat everything in the forest, the herbs and the animals and everything he needed to eat to get better. So he really, really wanted to burn. I mean, burning means eating for Agni. When he burns, he eats. So that's how we... And we also, actually, we have the fire digestion, which burns our food, and we eat also, digest our food. So Indra had indigestion from eating maybe a lot of garbage or something, but so he needed some medicine to cure his indigestion. And the medicine was in this forest, in the Kandava forest. Krishna wanted to give it to Agni. The Kandava forest contained many varieties of drugs, and Agni required to eat them for rejuvenation. Agni, however, did not touch the Kandava forest directly, but requested Krishna to help him. Agni knew Krishna was very pleased with him because he had formerly given him the Sudarshan disc. Actually, it's Krishna's disc, but he lets his devotees also give him things that belong to him. Actually, everything belongs to him, but we give it to Krishna and he's happy. So the Sudarshan, we know, belongs to Krishna, but when Krishna came to this planet, he didn't bring it with him. So Agni got the opportunity to do some service and give him his Sudarshan disc. So in order to satisfy Agni, Krishna became the chariot driver of Arjuna, and both went to the Kandava forest. After Agni had eaten up the Kandava forest, he was very much pleased. At this time, he offered Arjuna a special bow known as Gandiva. So here is the history of the Gandiva bow. 4 white horses, 1 chariot, and an invincible quiver with 2 special arrows considered to be talismans, which had so much power that no warrior could counteract them. When the Kandava forest was being devoured by the fire god Agni, there was a demon of the name Maya who was saved by Arjuna from the devastating fire. For this reason, the former demon became a great friend of Arjuna And in order to please Arjuna, he constructed a nice assembly house within the city constructed by Vishvakarma. This assembly house had some corners so puzzling that when Duryodhana came to visit this house, he was misdirected, accepting water as land and land as water. Duryodhana was thus insulted by the opulence of the Pandavas, and he became their determined enemy. So, Prabhupada talks about the demons, how they possess wonderful powers. But unfortunately, because they're demons, they use their wonderful mystic powers for harm in society. This is the problem. Because of the demonic mentality, the goal of life is to enjoy. And so just for this goal, to enjoy, they do so many harmful and disturbing things. Prabhupada said, creation of nuclear weapons. Now we have so many other new things that they have created. I don't know if you know about this, these trails in the sky we heard in America. I don't know if they do this in Australia. But the jets go up and they make these huge long trails and they come down. And these trails are full of aluminum and even viruses and all kinds of things to keep the population down. Shri Kirti was just recently driving 10 hours in Florida, and he saw at the beginning there was, you know, one, two trails, and then as he went on there were more and more, and finally there was a thick, dense cover. And all of it was like chemicals and things that are bad for you. So this is one of their discoveries. And in the name of defense, of course, they would do these things. Then they want to do something that's unnatural. They want, because Krishna is doing everything very beautifully and nicely and very naturally, but they want to do it themselves. And so they'll make these GMO foods, which are also very bad for you. They've found that they cause tumors on rats. And so what do they do to people? We don't know. So these GMO foods, these genetically modified foods, just to say that, yes, we have created a new type of apple or a new type of tomato, but one thing I noticed in India, they don't have these, and the food is so sweet. The fruits are very sweet. You get it from America, imported, it's no taste. It looks beautiful. They want it outside to look beautiful so people will buy, but the inside, it's not very sweet. And so Krishna, he makes everything beautifully. Not only does it look nice, but it's sweet as well. I was in the airplane coming here, and the man next to me was reading the paper, and he was saying, now they're feeding coffee to elephants. I think because they want their tusks to turn black or something, I don't know. Anyway, you know, what will they think of next? It's just anything unnatural. And it causes a disturbance to society. Many years ago, they had this mad cow disease in England because they fed the cows cow meat. Their own flesh. They fed them their own flesh. They became crazy, and they had to kill all the cows. Mad cow disease. So Maya Dhanava, he was a demon, and he was creating wonderful things, but he was a very smart demon because he knew that if Arjuna protects me, then nobody can, even Krishna cannot touch me. And so he knew. He knew some sort of philosophy because he took shelter of a devotee of the Lord. Very smart demon. So we can also be smart demons, because a lot of us were born in demon families, take shelter of a pure devotee and get the mercy of the Lord. As the Prabhupada said here, that process is by the grace of the devotee, the mercy of the Lord is obtained. So yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada. Yasya prasada, nagati kutopi. By the mercy of the Lord, a chance to serve the Lord's devotee is obtained. So Maya wanted to serve Arjuna, but Arjuna didn't let him. Arjuna said, oh, you go and serve Lord Krishna. So he went to Krishna, okay, I'll do some service. Krishna said, no, go to Yudhisthira, do service for him. And so the devotee directs people to Krishna to serve them, and Krishna directs people to the devotees, to serve the devotees. So there's a transcendental competition there. Even Krishna wants to serve the devotees. Therefore, if somebody serves his devotee, then Krishna is very, very pleased. So, the Lord is merciful. Let us analyze a little bit what is the mercy of the Lord. Sometimes the mercy comes in difficult ways. Especially, there's a verse in 10th canto, 1088:8, Yasyaham anugrihami, that when I especially give blessings to my devotee, I take away his so-called opulence. And it's by the mercy of the Lord we get the opulence, actually. But if it causes, Prabhupada said, if he causes one to become puffed up and forget the process of self-realization, then he takes it away. And the Lord bestows his mercy by helping us find out our constitutional position. So in Nectar of Devotion, it explains Krishna is magnanimous. It's one of his qualities. The definition is persons who can give themselves to anyone are called magnanimous. No one can be more magnanimous than Krishna, because he's prepared to give himself completely to his devotees. But there is one more magnanimous, and that is Lord Chaitanya. Krishna is Lord Chaitanya. His mercy is Brahman, and that means the greatness of that mercy can be compared only to Brahman. Unlimited, huge, all-pervading. That's how wonderful that mercy is to the devotee. Of course, we're very small, so sometimes we think, well, that's a lot of mercy for me to get here. Who am I to take this Brahman mercy? But it is Brahman, and it's also described as Paraman. It has no comparison in this material world. It's called Sukshman. It's very, very fine, very subtle mercy. The Lord's mercy is not only great, expansive, the finest quality. So what is the finest quality? What does that mean, fine quality? It means love. The finest quality of love between Krishna and his devotee. So this quote is from Krishna book, the 10th canto, chapter 88. A little bit after this very famous verse. So if you want to look it up, you can find it. Perhaps the 10th verse after 10:88:10. Then it describes this mercy. Such mercy is further described as chin matram, completely spiritual. Matram means absolute spirituality with no tinge of material qualities. So the mercy is sat, eternal, and anantakam, unlimited. So many wonderful words to describe the mercy of the Lord. Because Krishna is unlimited, he can give us unlimited mercy. So, but how in this world? We don't have such a close relationship with Krishna, although we're trying. So how does the Lord manifest his mercy in this world? That is through his devotees, the Prabhupada. So let us, of course, first we have the example of Arjuna saving Maya, a demon, saving Maya Danava, and then they became friends. But we have also the example of even Lord Chaitanya, although he was the most merciful, his devotees were more merciful. And we can see now Rath Yatra is coming up, and the story of King Prataparudra. Lord Chaitanya rejected him. He said, I'm not going to see him. He's a king. I'm a sannyasi. We're not allowed. Sorry. Not allowed to see him. But the devotees, they favored King Prataparudra. So Prabhupada says, this means the beloved devotee of the Lord can favor a neophyte more liberally than the Lord. Pure devotees therefore never commit offense at the feet of another pure devotee. So you can get the mercy of the Lord even if you're a neophyte by going through the pure devotee of the Lord. So the king, he was very upset. He sent a letter with the devotees. Oh, by the mercy of the devotees, one can get shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Without his mercy, my kingdom does not appeal to me. And even after that, he said, I will just go into the fire if I don't get his mercy. I'll become a mendicant. I'll go begging door to door. I'll renounce my kingdom, and then maybe he'll see me. So Nityananda, the devotee, said, no, you remain as king. We'll figure out something. We'll figure out a way for you to see the Lord. So Nityananda said, there is a way. You don't have to meet the king, but you can enable the king to continue living. So he was talking to Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya wouldn't hear about it. If you send one of your clothes to the king would live hoping to see you sometime in the future. So he sent one of his chadars, I don't think he wore a curtain in those days. So he sent one chadar, and the king decided to worship it. He put it on his altar, and he was doing worship to the cloth, because he understood it's not different from Lord Chaitanya. And the devotees were still trying to get Lord Chaitanya to meet the king. And Lord Chaitanya said, okay, if you want me to meet the king, first bring his son to meet me. Now the king's son was extremely beautiful, and he was just before youth, pre-youth, maybe 13, 14 years old, and he had blackish complexion, large lotus eyes, dressed in a yellow dhoti. So imagine what happened when Lord Chaitanya saw him. Immediately he thought of Krishna. And he said, here is a great devotee. Upon seeing him, everyone can remember Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm very obliged just by seeing this boy. And he embraced the boy. The boy became a very intimate associate with Lord Chaitanya. So we could understand that now the king is going to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And then when the boy went home, the king embraced the boy, and he felt the same ecstasy. In the villages in Bengal, East Bengal, sometimes people in the village will go for pilgrimage, and when they come back, the other villagers embrace them because they feel like they'll get the pious credits of going on the pilgrimage if they just touch those devotees that went on pilgrimage. So this was the process. And that was Lord Chaitanya's process. In the old, when Lord Chaitanya was here, he would go to a village, embrace someone who would become a devotee. That one would go and embrace somebody, of course. That was another thing. Of course, there's more to it than that. After embracing, you have to follow the form. You have to do a lot of things. I was on the plane. The person next to me also, he was from Australia, but he was he had met this embracing lady, this hugging lady, Ama or something. I don't know her name. Mama or Ama. Yeah, so just by embracing, he said, yeah, I got embraced and I felt this, you know, so different. I said, okay. I said, yeah, I guess, well, there's an art to everything, and some people have perfected the art. What can you say? What can you say? But, yes, but our process is different. We do follow, we serve the pure devotee, we chant Hare Krishna, we follow the regular principles, and we try to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Now, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is God, he can do things like that. So at Rath Yatra time, King Pratapruta was out in front, and he was sprinkling the road with sandalwood-scented water. Although he was the king, the owner of the royal throne, he did menial service for the sake of Lord Jagannath. And that was, I heard that one time there was supposed to be a marriage between the king of Orissa and some princess, and she said, I don't want to marry someone who sweeps the road. That's like a bunny, that's a lower class person. But anyway, she ended up marrying him, and she found out he was servant of Lord Jagannath. So, although the king was the most respected person, he accepted menial service, so he became a suitable candidate for receiving the Lord's mercy. Upon seeing the king engaged in such menial service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. Simply by rendering this service, the king received the mercy of the Lord. So although he was rejected by Lord Chaitanya, the devotees arranged for him to get the Lord's mercy. So a lot of us, when we first joined the temple, we did a lot of menial service, washing pots, and I remember cleaning bathrooms, washing pots, rolling chapatis, you know, things like that. So, but then you get the mercy of the devotees, you get the mercy of the Lord. So Prabhupada, he had the mercy of his guru, and he's giving the mercy. He prayed to Krishna when he arrived in America that, please, let these people who are in passionate ignorance, let them understand your message. So he's more merciful than Krishna, and we can see this if we read Bhagavad Gita carefully. And even study the Acharyas' commentaries. Prabhupada is more merciful than Krishna, and he is more merciful than the Acharyas. I can give you an example. One verse in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 29. The verse reads, bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performers. Lack of knowledge. So, Lord Krishna said not to disturb the materialists, but I think we do it every day. We go out and try to distribute books and preach, and some people might get disturbed by us. So what to do? So Prabhupada in the Purport explains, men who are ignorant cannot appreciate activities in Krishna consciousness, and therefore Lord Krishna advises us not to disturb them and simply waste valuable time. But the devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Now that's a very interesting statement. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is very strict, and here is one example of his strictness. Don't disturb the non-devotees. Later on he'll say, don't tell this message to those who are not austere, devoted, engaged in devotional service, this, that. But the devotees are more kind because they know his purpose. So Prabhupada, the pure devotees, they're taking the mood of Nityananda, who is more kind. And he says, therefore, the purpose of the Lord is to bring everybody back to Godhead. So the devotees, they understand. So right at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, only Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, are you going to hear surrender to Krishna? Otherwise, you have to wait till the last end of Bhagavad Gita to hear that. Don't worry about all these different things. Just surrender to me, and I will take care of you. But in Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, from the beginning, almost in every purport, devotional service, surrender to Krishna. In other Gitas, I read one Gita before I became a devotee. One very famous guru. And he only did the first six chapters. He didn't go beyond because you know what happens after that. Bhakti Yoga. Because he was teaching Ashtanga Yoga. So he only did the first six chapters, and I couldn't even get to the sixth chapter of his book. It was so boring. And then I got Prabhupada's book. It was very interesting. So different. So completely different. Very applicable, relevant to your life. So Prabhupada says, the devotees are more kind. Consequently, they undertake all kinds of risks, even to the point of approaching ignorant men, to try to engage them in the acts of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being. So Prabhupada, he risked his life, two heart attacks on the boat across. One would be enough for us to go back to our country, I think, wherever it was. But Prabhupada went anyway. Sumati Maharaj, he said, you are going to die there. And he said, anyway, I have to try. So the end of the Gita, after Krishna says surrender, he says, don't tell it to the non-devotees, but one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains the auspicious planets or the pious dwell. The Prabhupada explains in the purport, yes, Krishna forbade us to speak to the non-devotees, but sometimes we give a class in Gita, and even non-devotees will go. It's open class, it's not just for devotees. Anyone can come. So why do such persons hold open class? It's explained not everyone may be a devotee, but some people are not envious. And if they hear, they'll become free of sinful reactions, and they will make advancement. So the pure devotee gives everyone a chance, Prabhupada says, to become free from all sinful reactions and to become a devotee of the Lord. So this is very, very, this is our duty also, to follow Srila Prabhupada and create the pious activities of the people and try to preach a little, and Prabhupada and Krishna will reciprocate with us. So I'd like to, sometimes we have difficulties in our service. And here is one in 1972, one of my godbrothers, Tejas, was all alone in Delhi, which is a very hellish place, actually. And now it's a little, I think it's a little better because they made all the buses green. They don't have the exhaust fumes. Before it was, you would die, you know. It was just a huge cloud above Delhi. Now it's a smaller cloud. Some people didn't do that. But the buses, the taxis, and the rickshaws all had to change over to this other gas. So anyway, Tejas was there alone in Delhi, and nobody helping him, and he was very frustrated. He wrote to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I'm very disturbed to hear from you. You have become disturbed in your mind. Do not be disturbed. There is no cause for anxiety. You are doing your best to serve Krishna. That is very much appreciated. So do not lose enthusiasm out of frustration. That will spoil everything. Krishna consciousness means we should always be satisfied and happy. We heard that yesterday. Not that we must work something impossible, becoming overburdened, and then because we are unhappy by so much trouble, we lose enthusiasm altogether and give up all help, all hope. No, if too much endeavor is there, that is to be avoided. By all means, we must preserve a spiritual status. But that is the point. We're not mad after big buildings. Of course, we had nothing when we were there. No building at all, hardly. Maybe a little house somewhere. And then everybody was, of course, this is 1972, we didn't have any big buildings at all. Many devotees, life members. So these are only ways to engage the devotees so they may apply the principles of devotional living to some kind of work for practical realization of these principles. It's not the result of the work we want. If only one person daily, if we sincerely preach to one such person in a day, that is sufficient, never mind big, big programs. So my request to you is don't be bothered by these things. I've instructed Tamal Krishna and Shama Sindhu to send you men, so they will do it, rest assured. Krishna, now here's a wonderful thing, Prabhupada says. Krishna does not like to see his sincere devotees suffer or become frustrated or depressed. He will not stand idly by in any such case, so do not fear on that account. Krishna has got some plan for you. Always think in that way, and very soon he will provide everything to your heart's desire. Now, isn't that a wonderful letter? Because sometimes devotees get a little bit depressed sometimes and, you know, give up hope, but you should not. This is, Prabhupada said, don't worry, Krishna is watching you. He's seeing what you're doing. He's not going to stand by idly and let you suffer. Krishna has a plan for each of us, and our challenge of our life is to find out what is that plan. What is my service for Krishna? What is his plan? And not only that, if you read in the 10th canto, one purport, 10.14.7, I think it is, that Sanatana Goswami says that for each and every living entity, Krishna has a special quality to attract them to him. So Krishna has something very special that you become attracted to him, and you can't leave him. Each one of us, he has one for each one of us, because he's infinite and we are an infinite number, but still Krishna is there for us. So we can pray for mercy of the devotee. By pleasing the devotee, we can please Krishna, and we can, as Prabhupada said, do not fear, do not be in anxiety, and Krishna will provide everything to our heart's desire. So we'll stop here. And any questions, comments on this verse? Purport, Krishna book, or anything? Yes? You can't please everyone, yes? Sometimes we try to please the devotees, but we can't please everyone. That's right. But if in your heart you're sincerely trying to please the devotee, and then don't worry, Krishna will see your endeavor. The result may not be as you expect. When you try to please the devotees, the result, as Prabhupada said, don't be attached to the result. But yeah, you may even get rejected. You may even get something opposite of what you're expecting. But Krishna will see your sincere endeavor, and he will be pleased with that. So if there is some problem, then you can pray to the Super Soul of that devotee's heart to help you understand and help the devotee understand each other like that. We have a question on this side. I saw somebody with their hands up. Now their hand went down. Okay. It was you? No. Okay. Any other questions? Yes. What types of mercy can one get? Okay. Well, if we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted a kingdom, and he got his kingdom. But the real mercy was that when he saw the Lord, he didn't want the kingdom anymore. So that was one type of mercy, is that you lose your attachments to this material world. Then there was a renounced Sudama Brahmana who was living very poorly, and Krishna gave him opulence, and so he used it for Krishna. But sometimes Krishna will give you the things of this world to use in his service. And sometimes he will take them away, not that you can't use them properly, but he wants you to do another service that's even higher. I know, because I had different services in my life, and I was very attached to each one, and somehow or other, each one got taken away and got taken away, and then into another service, the book distribution, and that was taken away, and then I just went to another service, and every time the changes, it's really for the better. So the mercy can come. Of course, the real mercy is when you take a step closer to Him. Usually that's what happens when mercy comes. Myself, I was outside the temple, and then by the mercy of Prabhupada, he said he was going to visit the temple. I stayed the weekend, and I never left. So that was one type of mercy. Like you get a push in the right direction. Like, and I was hesitating to preach also, and I got a push in japa. It comes in different ways. So that time it was in japa time. In japa, somehow I was trying to chant, hearing the holy name, and so much reciprocation came. And so that's also mercy. It's also mercy when you try to preach and you see somebody take up an interest in Krishna consciousness. And that's really mercy. You feel so happy that another person, because it's something you did, that other person is coming closer to Krishna. Yeah, there's many types of mercy. But, and actually the mercy is always coming. But in Queen Kunti's prayers, in the purport, Prabhupada says, the sun is shining equally on everyone. But some people are hiding themselves from the sun, so they don't get the full mercy. He said, it's according to how open we are to receive the mercy, how much mercy we will get. According to the recipient of mercy, how much we will actually get. Now, full mercy is available always, 10%. But if we don't want full mercy, then Krishna will give us half mercy, or a quarter mercy, or 1% mercy, how much we want, we will get. If we're not ready for 100%, then He will give us something less mercy. Mercy also comes when you see the world differently. You take something you heard, and then all of a sudden your vision changes, your life changes. And you can put that into practice, what you've heard. So this is mercy. Mercy is being able to give up the four bad habits, following the four religious principles. That's mercy. Mercy is to get up early in the morning, go to Mangalarti. That's a kind of mercy. Mercy is to get along with your god brothers and god sisters. It comes in many, many ways. Yes?
Also, Bali Maharaj.
Bali Maharaj, yeah, he surrendered everything. Yeah, he did surrender. The Lord did ask him. Of course, he was tricking, he was cheating him. He said, I only want 3 steps. And Bali said, oh, I can give you a whole island. Why only 3 steps? Mm-hmm. And then Brahman said, yes, well, Brahman should be satisfied. Then he took the whole universe. A little cheating there. Bali was very gracious, even though he felt like he couldn't fulfill his promise, and he was arrested and pushed down. Then finally he gave him a place for his 3rd step, and that was his head, because that was the only thing left. The owner of the opulence is more than the opulence, so he gave him himself. And Vamanadeva gave himself as his doorman. So he reciprocated with him. And when Ravana came to fight with Bali, then Vamanadeva kicked him far, far away, many miles away. And so he was a very good doorman. He did his job. Yes? Mm-hmm. Basically, their regulative principles means the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. The principles of Bhakti Yoga. Yes, yes, yes. You can read the purport, it might say something more, but I don't know. Generally, that's what it means. It means if you engage in bhakti yoga, you follow the prohibitions and the do's and the don'ts, then you get the mercy of the Lord.
How to deal with
the aversions when we get hurt and react to people. Yes. So that requires forgiveness. That according to Bhagavatam, he says to overcome anger, then forgiveness. Not that you go back for more ill treatment, but you have to, once you get out of the situation, or you should not continue to be in such a situation, then you have to forgive, or else it will eat your heart out. And you will get cancer or something like that. That's what comes from resentment. One health book was saying, from the subtle, from the mind comes the diseases on the gross level. So if you keep the resentment, then cancer is the result, usually. Because it's eating you up. Any other questions? Yes?
Krishna
is giving the spiritual world. Which question? This last one.
She was asking for mercy.
Oh, mercy, okay.
So Krishna is giving us entry to the spiritual world.
Yeah, and himself? He's giving himself entry to the spiritual world. Yes, we have a ticket back to Godhead.
Yes.
We have a ticket to the spiritual world. But we still have to pay something for it. We have to pay a lot. We have to pay everything. And if we don't pay everything, then Krishna will take it away anyway, so better just do it. That was my philosophy. When my husband left me, I was in Goa, which is like a heavenly planet in India, with my son. But I was called to Vrindavan, and I was thinking, oh, if I go to Vrindavan, it's going to be so austere. But if I say no, then Krishna will force me, so better I say yes and just go. And I went, and it was so nice. It was great. Better say yes to Krishna, because otherwise he'll find a way to make you say yes. Better you voluntarily. That's like living in Vrindavan. Voluntarily you do some austerity, or otherwise you'll be forced to do some austerity. Especially in eating. Better you don't eat fried things and don't eat anything outside, only prasadam. Otherwise you will be sick, for sure. Very sick. So you voluntarily do your austerity, and Krishna will be very happy with that. And it doesn't have to be a great austerity, just try to chant nicely. That's our austerity for Kali Yuga, is to chant the holy name. And it's not really austerity, but in the beginning it may seem like austerity, because we're not accustomed to chanting. It seems very bitter. But as the years go on, it becomes sweeter and sweeter. Any other questions? Comments? Yes?
I'm not sure if you've spoken, but you've spoken the compassion aspect, like how Mahaprabhu is so merciful, how Prabhupada is so merciful, that even when Krishna says that, you know, you don't preach to certain people, Prabhupada yeah. does that. And you mentioned the point of detachment, like, you know, we do our duty, but the same way. So, so how do we have that by preaching especially, how do we have that compassion but at the same time remain detached from
yeah.
results?
How do you have compassion at the same time remain detached from results? Because you're an instrument. You are not actually, you are just trying to be receptive to the compassion coming from your guru and Lord Chaitanya, and you're trying to pass it on to others. So you're just an instrument in preaching. So therefore, if the person doesn't listen, then it's, you tried your best. The instrument doesn't get upset with the person. The instrument, of course, but we're also persons who have emotions and feelings, so we get upset. we don't feel just like instruments. But the actual truth is that we're instruments of the mercy of the Guru and Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. And that's why we do feel happy. We do feel unhappy if they don't. But then say, okay, at least I tried. You can pray for that person, whatever. I tried to give them mercy. But you do try. You have to try your best to be a good instrument. Clean yourself. You have to be pure so that the compassion will go through you, so that you will really want to help people. And so if that genuine desire to help the person is there, then that will be noted by Krishna in your endeavor, even if you don't succeed every time. And that was, even Krishna, he taught that to the cowherd boys. He told them to go begging for food from the brahmanas performing sacrifice, and they were rejected. And they came back and they said they wouldn't give us. He said, yeah, well, that's the way it is when you go begging. You may not always get accepted. He said, now go to the wives. So they're my devotees. And so, yeah, the cowherd boys were also upset when they got rejected by the brahmanas. But sometimes we get rejected, and we may feel bad, but then you have to keep going. You go on to the next person. Maybe the next person will listen. Maybe the next person will take a book or be interested in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So we're attached. We're attached to doing our best. That's what we're attached to. We're attached to trying our best to be a good instrument, trying our best to convince the person, to preach to the person. So that's, we're attached to that side, trying to do our best. But if somehow we fail, then that's also... There's a very good example in Ram Lila of the bird Jatayu. He failed in defeating Ravana. But Ram appreciated his service even though he failed. He couldn't save Sita from Ravana. Although he tried his best, but he was killed, he was defeated, and Ram held him. When he died in Ram's lap. So you have to try. You may not succeed every time. Victory is up to Krishna. Victory or defeat is not up to us. Not in our hands. Okay, so let's stop here and we'll go to Shiva. Shiva Prabhupada.